Tim Versalotti, the excellent pollster and director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science, and a guy who is go-to for us here at WAMC when it comes to close elections and other elections. Tim, as a pollster, what are your concerns here in terms of your
profession? Well, in this election cycle, one of the concerns is, are we reaching enough voters in terms of young people, for example, people who only have cell phones, who no longer have landlines? Are we building in proper assumptions for what the electorate is going to look like? And this is a more recent methodological issue, are there shy voters who may not tell you the truth in person on a telephone interview, but may be truthful if they're completing a survey online? And so those are all concerns that are keeping telephone pollsters awake at night during this cycle, no question about that.
So when you see the Trump and Hillary numbers, and you see the New York Times upshot saying, okay, theoretically, now this is not how many people are for or against each candidate, we give a 12% chance to Donald Trump to win this election, and we give an 88% chance to Hillary Clinton. What do you make of that?
Well, they're taking into account indicators beyond just the polling. They're taking a look at economic factors. They're taking a look at other elements of public opinion when they put this together. But again, models are only as good as the assumptions that are built in. And we are, again, in an unusual election cycle with an unusual candidate for the Republican Party. And so models can only take us so far. I think it's interesting to listen to the chatter among Clinton campaign officials and supporters urging them not to be complacent, not to take their eye off the ball, because with those kinds of odds, it would be very tempting for them to put their feet up and just ride this out. And things can change in politics, even if your assumptions are solid. There can be changes that really shake things up.
So what would be some of the things that could change in your long experience as a pollster? What are some of the things? I mean, is it, for example, I've always thought, let's say there's some kind of a domestic terror attack in the United States.
Sure, absolutely. And I think that is something that folks think about. Pray it never happens. But if there was some kind of terrorist attack between now and the election here in the United States, and depending on the circumstances of it, if it was an attack carried out by Islamic extremists, or if it was something that could have been foreseen but was overlooked, that could cause some real trouble for the Clinton campaign, if only because Clinton has been campaigning almost for a third Obama term. And this would allow Donald Trump to whip up nationalism and play on people's fears even further. And so I think that could be, and that's something you can't foresee, but it's something that the campaigns are mindful of, no question. I think the other issue that the Clinton campaign says it's not worried about, but should be, or probably is, are more leaks, more emails, more results of hacked email accounts being dribbled out. And Julian Assange from WikiLeaks says he's got all sorts of material that he'll be dribbling out between now and Election Day. And those are things that a campaign has a hard time preparing for. They simply have to react to. And so there could be events in that area that could also, I'm not sure it would flip the race, but it would certainly tighten things up or take the Clinton campaign off its game plan.
We often talk in political science, guys like you and me, about the bandwagon effect. So let's add pollsters and the bandwagon effect together and see what you have to say.
Yeah, let's take that apart a little bit and talk about pollsters first in the notion there's a concept called herding. When as you get closer to Election Day, when you're doing your estimates, there's a concern that pollsters who claim to ignore all the other polls, but can't help but watch, obviously, that they somehow build their assumptions or build their analyses so they're not outliers. They're not too far off what the general consensus in the polling community is. And this can lead to problems and really botched predictions. We can look to the UK and some of the polling there in the 2015 general election and the 2016 Brexit vote, where late polls came in and the directors of those polls looked and said, oh, well, this can't possibly be true. And it really was. So herding is a concern, that you don't believe your numbers, that you don't have confidence in your survey and your data collection procedures. And then there is the bandwagon effect, the sense among the public that it's over, things are baked in, and pile on. And there's so I've seen really astonishing headlines in the media in the last week or two saying, is the 2016 campaign over? And it seems crazy with almost 3 months to go that people would be articulating that when there's so much that's still to come, particularly the debates, that could lengthen Clinton's lead or, if she stumbles badly, tighten things up a little bit.
Let me switch from national polling for a moment to a state you and I both live in, Massachusetts. We have early voting, and how does that work?
Yes, this will be the first cycle where Massachusetts joins two-thirds of the country in having early voting. 37 states now allow people to cast their ballots up to 45 days before the election.
How do I do it?
In Massachusetts, it's a little more restricted. It's 10 business days before the election. So from October 24th to November 4th, voters in Massachusetts will be able to cast their ballot for the November 8th election. Now, it won't be like Election Day. Your local polling place won't necessarily be the location. There will be one or more designated polling places, depending on the size of your community. The Massachusetts Secretary of State's office is recommending one polling place per 35,000 voters in a community.
That lets out Great Barrington right there.
Right, and my hometown, Northampton, as well. We have 28,000, so we'll have one spot. And it's typically the town or city hall, but it could be a senior citizen center or some other location. This will be during regular business hours. And the change from previous years is that it's no excuses. In Massachusetts, up to this point, you could vote early, but you had to swear an affidavit that you would be out of town on Election Day. Mm. And here it's simply, no excuse. Come on in. You can do it. We're the only state in New England with no excuses early voting. Maine and Vermont have early absentee voting. But again, you have to say you're going to be away on Election Day.
But isn't this something Democrats love? I mean, Democrats want, the bigger the turnout, the more Democrats usually love it.
That's right.
Republicans are usually saying, no, that's not a good idea. That's irresponsible.
Here's
blue state Massachusetts.
And it's very interesting because it is not inexpensive. There is some expense associated with it. And in the state budget that the legislature passed this summer, there was $1.2 million set aside for early voting. And Governor Baker, a Republican, included that among his vetoes. He knocked out about $400 million from the budget. And as I looked at that, I thought, boy, why would you pick this fight? The Republicans come across already as the party that wants to make it more difficult to vote by imposing voter ID requirements and shortening the period for voting. Why pick that fight with an overwhelmingly Democratic legislature, which then overrode the veto and provided that money anyway? So again, it'll be an interesting experiment. The political science research does not confirm that this boosts turnout. If anything, it might get some of the hardcore folks who show up on Election Day to head out a little earlier. But at least in theory, it may make some people more amenable to voting if it's more convenient for them.
We love Tim Versalotti. He's the director of the Western New England University Poll. He's professor of political science. He's always willing to come and tell us about the way things really work. We appreciate it so much, Tim.
Thank you, Alan.